They're coming to get you, Barbara.
To a new episode of Blood, Tits, and Gore presents Three Girls, One Guy. Now.
Nope.
Welcome. To a new episode of Blood, Tits, and Gore presents Three Girls, A Guy, and some true fucking stories.
That was a big fucking flip-flop you just did.
That was
did.
A big...
Yeah. North,
went through several regions. A little bit of the crazy English.
I feel like we need, like, the Unsolved Mysteries theme song to happen.
Do you... Am I gonna be... Am I gonna be singing it?
I think you should sing it. Oh, geez. You should sing it.
Hold on, I need it. I need...
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, here, way hold, too upbeat. Yeah, these people are fucking dead. We don't know who did it.
I love it.
That's far too upbeat.
Right. Yeah, that was Pony with musical stylings
of
Pony.
Of somebody,
Joshua.
Whoever did the Unsolved Mystery scene, thank you so much for... thank you much for that Cheez-Its commercial, briefly. Shout out to Cheez-Its. Please sponsor us.
For real, though.
I'm Brooke.
I'm Pony.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Tina.
Tonight, I don't know if you guessed by the discussion of unsolved mysteries and true stories, but we will be discussing true stories. Movies based on true stories, whether it be loosely, tightly,
vaguely,
moderately,
this
mostly.
This is a hot dog in a hallway story.
I've only heard that. About describing a girl with a loose...
And which is basically the Hells Have Eyes-based story. It's a hot dog in a hallway, kind of. I'm sorry, I won't say it again.
In case you haven't guessed by our talks, we're going to be discussing movies, horror movies, scary movies, thrilling movies, based on true crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on true crime, loosely?
Stories. Let's say that.
Mine's loosely, based on true stories. True crimes, true
inspired
stories.
Inspired by?
Inspired. Not necessarily a crime. I don't know. Mine's a fucking
mine's
crime.
Mine's not a crime. Somebody... Mine's more the crime of frightening a town.
How long is that jail sentence?
Is that in the Constitution?
I don't think the Mothman, you know, can be jailed.
Yeah, that's...
He doesn't... Play if you by mean the in, fucking
Indrid,
earth rules.
Indrid Cold?
Indrid Cold.
Well, you know, if there's a light in there, he's probably going to hang out movie. There for quite some time. At least that's how it works out in my kitchen. Whatever he is, love my corny jokes. It's like that fly that won't leave. Oh,
Richard
man.
Gere.
Richard Gere, God, my mom
his
used
career.
My mom used to think he was so sexy, and she would.
Oh, that fucked me up a little bit. I just have this idea of like jailing him by just putting a fucking light fixture in a room.
he just bounces around it.
You don't have any walls or anything,
and they're like, "Man, we like, finally caught the killer."
No, oh, God
I had a
damn it.
I had a friend of mine who. My friend's aunt used to refer to her as the Mothman because every time she came around, bad shit ended up happening to everybody.
Bummer.
Yeah. That's not a good nickname to get.
Yeah, that's a bad association.
Mm. My nickname was Bucktooth Beaver, but that was because I was missing some teeth and had a really big front teeth.
And bad things happened whenever you came around.
whenever
a lot of wood.
Whenever around, all the wood was gone.
All the
gone.
Wood structures started
no more legs would snap.
Houses start crumbling.
I'd just walk in and be like,
"That's kind of your bad."
Like I'd come into a room and I'd see a guy and we would be like about to get it on, and then I'd be like, Is that wood?
Okay. Ew. Well, that's Brooke, sexy.
No. That's not a boner killer.
I mean, it would
it
if
literally
I...
is, though.
It literally is.
But
wait, I gotta Mothman. Get, like, my little, like, drum thing down.
When I think of Mothman, I always think of that episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force when is it a moth yeah that's living on their roof or whatever trying to look at the light yeah. and it's he comes like down he's
keeps
like
bugging him to he hey, turn that back
turn
on
that light back yeah. on
he like he lives in their attic or something
well, yeah he, or he's in a van outside
he's basically acts like an addict
yeah he comes to it's he's in like a, it's like the school bus of the dead or something
yeah,
is
something
the episode
like
and he comes downstairs wow. or comes down and knocks on the door and is like if you don't have that light turned back on by tonight something will happen cloth related.
Cloth related. Ominous.
Oh, Jesus.
But
Christ.
Yeah, speaking of. Fuck, we just talked about bugs.
Just,
it's like we can't stop talking about bugs and
notes.
Stuff.
Well, because they're. Yuck.
The segue from last week's episode.
Did you hear me crack my neck?
No, I did a little
no,
bit.
No, I didn't. No.
Do it I can't again, do it. Man. Do it again. I can't do it again. Oh, I mean, I can break my neck, but that won't be fun.
Do it. I double dog dare you.
And that was it.
Just punch.
That
was it for the podcast. Sorry. I'm attacking my mic. How does this work again?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Wait,
this is
going
to get
write down
dropped in the editing bay.
Oh, Richard Gere. So my mom was obsessed with Richard Gere, as most women who are in their 50s through 60s through 70s
yeah.
or how old women are.
He's a gilf.
They were super obsessed with him.
He's got and beautiful locks.
Pretty womanness.
Nice
she would send me on Valentine's Day this card, and it's Richard Gere standing at the top of a staircase or an escalator or something like that, holding he's wearing a tuxedo and he's holding a rose. And underneath it says, "What would you do if you saw this when you opened the door?" And she's like, "Nothing."
Say
I mean,
hi.
Be like, "Whoa, Richard
well,
Gere.
Whoa, what's
That's
Richard
wild.
Gere doing here?
Who's the rose
nuts.
For?"
Gerbil story though.
Were
too.
You?
The,
did you
yeah,
win the Bachelorette?
A
man?
Is that a rumor?
Yeah.
Man, I want to believe.
Tell me.
Why do you want to believe
he,
it?
He shoves
like,
gerbils up his ass.
Yeah.
And the,
there's
like,
a rumor that he
like
does gerbil play.
Yeah.
Kind of scratch around, loosen it up.
I mean, it,
like,
I don't know what
like
they
fun.
Do once they get in there, but.
I know.
Well, I thought that was like the reason
like,
why
what
they
do. They love tunnels.
Yeah. I feel like. I feel like there's nothing good. I don't think anyone's. Okay. I think people have shoved gerbils up their asses, but I don't think it's a thing that happens enough for it to... I think that's a hospitalization afterwards.
I would be so horrified if I woke
it would
up
panic,
and a gerbil was
it would
in my
eat
ass.
Through...
And it's got teeth and
yeah,
claws.
Man. Mm. Yeah. Unless
oh,
you're,
I'm
like, rubber gloving.
It.
Why would
I'm
you
like,
want...
Fucking...
You know,
yeah.
if you
Sam's
want
like,
something
no, it's totally fine.
Up your
I agree with
people
this.
Do this.
Giant
I mean,
normal people that we know...
Do they
normal
really?
Normal people that we know do not do this.
I know.
No. Don't run
sorry, I don't mean
but
to.
We're
not trying to knock your
that.
Hobby.
Richard Gere.
No, you guys.
Richard, we're not going to gerbil shame you anymore.
Fuck.
Richard anyways. Gere may not have gerbils in his ass right now.
I don't think he does.
But he does have the Mothman prophecies in his pocket.
Oh.
It's true.
And maybe a chapstick.
Oh, dude, that
maybe a wallet.
You,
No, chapstick. It's from the movie.
From the movie.
Oh, it is.
He asks, he goes, what's in your hand? What's in your hand?
But I would hold a wallet.
No,
and
definitely got
and
a wallet.
And he's,
all,
he's,
got
he's like, Josh, you're an idiot. He's got a wallet, probably.
Yeah,
I thought we were all chapstick. Just going to start listing things.
He's got an
some
cheese.
Some change.
In there.
A phone.
It'd be funny if that's
not
when the Mothman started
this
listening.
Too early.
It was brick phone. It was brick phone era.
2002?
No, 2002 was Nokia era.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was at that time.
Cricket was out then.
Cricket was
out
then.
You were 12?
Yeah, because I got a
Cricket. I was 10.
Oh, yeah, that was the indestructible
that?
Nokia.
Yeah, I had an
the
indestructible
blue.
Nokia when I was
that had snake
15?
On it.
14, 14.
You got mine after I got rid of my pager.
Oh, okay, cool.
Page me, beat me if you need to reach me.
Well, fuck you, Brooke.
Okay.
Tell us about the Mothman prophecies.
Here's the deal.
Man, I quit.
I remember
quit,
watching
quit.
This movie, though, it's during in the daytime
oh.
with my dad at the girl. My dad at the time. Nope, that's all right.
Remember, give it a
still
gap.
My dad. Still my dad.
My dad at the girlfriend.
Okay. My dad's girlfriend at the time had two daughters. Their names were Alex and Samantha. My brother and I are Alex and Samantha.
Whoa.
We had a whole fucking clique. It was pretty
whoa.
Chill. They're both very cool still.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to go down.
Alex squared and Sam squared.
Literally, that's what it was. It was very cool. Anyways, we all watched this at like probably noon. And then, you know, night happened, as it does. And we all lost our goddamn minds because that shit fucked. And like, we watched, God, English is really tough today. I rewatched it last night. And I was home alone and I was still scared.
Yeah.
You know, what, my back door is just glass. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, should I put a fucking curtain over that? I don't know. It's weird. Anyways.
What's the lady's name?
Did you just stand there and stare at you?
I don't know. What
Get
if
some paint cans out. You're home alone,
just
man.
Started out of nowhere barking at the back fucking door.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the night, I was like, dude, don't fucking do that.
That's
like,
not cool.
Stop seeing ghosts.
Yeah, come on. Or at least don't tell me about them. I don't give a shit.
That's when you know shit's real, when your dog freaks out.
Yeah.
Fucking. Anyways, Mothman Prophecies, 2002 is when the movie was made. Based on a book written in 1975. Did not know that.
Based on a book? Based on a what?
Based on a
she
book.
She just said book.
But what's the book based on?
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Based on a...
Wait, didn't I just fucking say it? I don't know. Anyways, sorry. Richard Gere is a guy who's married to Deborah Messing. I don't know names in movies.
I think her name is
Deborah.
You don't
have to. Who cares?
It's something, right? It doesn't matter. Anyways.
She dies.
Yeah.
Like real early on.
Yeah. Wow. They get in a car accident. She sees something come at the window and just totally swerves out of control, smashes her head on the window.
Dude, so intense.
But then dies a couple days later from an unrelated brain tumor. So the only reason they found the tumor was because they had to do like a CAT scan because she smashed her fucking head on the window. But then she started drawing this picture, and the one of the doctors was like, she was drawing angels. And I was like, that's not a fucking angel. That's creepy, like bat thing. Because, you know, it was my first introduction. Yeah. Anyways, and then she's like talking to Richard Gere.
Movie title didn't give it away.
See it too. Whatever, man.
Clearly, it's a butter thing.
You wouldn't say that. Okay,
yeah.
You wouldn't look at it and be like, oh, that's a man who's a moth. You're like, that's kind of, that's a 3-year-old drawing a fucking bat.
You would be a superhero.
The best psychologist.
Yeah.
If you were able to just figure that out.
Right. Mothman.
Mothman.
Nailed it.
Anyway, she dies.
Sam.
Whole thing. Then Richard Gere is sad boy, and he's driving around. And this is all in, I'm not sure if he lives in West Virginia. Where does he live? He lives
in the city.
Else
he lives in like D.C.
city.
Or something.
Yeah. But then he's driving one night, and his car totally does like a Close Encounters where it just stops working.
Yeah.
Everything shuts off. And he's like, to me, I would be like, oh, that's alarming.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the fucking road. Everything goes dead. And then he just gets out and he's like, oh, well, you know, there's a house up that hill. I'm going to go up there, ask him to use her phone, whatever.
Was it haunted?
the car?
You know, that house on a haunted hill. Too. It's like fucking night. And he's like, I'm just going to jog right up. And they've got a phone. They're going to be friendly.
Never think that.
He goes up there, knocks on the door. And he's like, hey, man, my car just broke down. Can I use your phone? I just try to get a tow truck, whatever. And the dude loses his shit immediately. He's like, get off my fucking property. Like, why are you coming around here all the time? And they call the police. It's the lady who I always want to say is Holly Hunter. Who is the girl? It's not Holly Hunter. It's the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren Holly?
No, it's another alliteration name. Fuck, I should have looked this up.
I picked the name Holly and just went with it.
It's the... Holly Hunter, I don't even think is a person. Helen Hunt is a person.
Holly Hunter is a person.
Holly Hunter is a person.
Okay.
Holly Hunter's in Raising Arizona, right?
Sorry.
What the fuck is that?
It's Laura Linney.
Laura Linney.
That's why I do it. It's alliteration. It confuses me. Ow.
Holly Hunter is in Raising Arizona, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. She's the cop, and basically they find out. Or, like, the homeowner claims that Richard Gere has come to his house the previous 3 nights, knocking on the door, same fucking story. And Richard Gere's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dude. Like, this just happened. You must have me confused with someone else.
yeah, because he's easy to confuse.
I know, yeah. It's like, it's another guy who looks like me. I'm Richard Gere. You're fucking confused.
You're talking about the guy who's on the top of escalators all over the place?
Anyways,
with his roses? He won't stop winning the Bachelorette. I can't figure out who that is.
I'd be like, yeah, come in, have a cup of coffee. I don't fucking know. Ow, I am sitting in a terrible, but I can't straddle.
Which is so weird because you were in a really uncomfortable looking position the other day, but that seemed to work for you.
Yeah, okay, you love side saddle.
Do you want to switch? My knees out.
Should we
switch? I'm okay.
No. We have set Maybe everything up. Maybe
chair this way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the your back of your chair was this way.
That's how you were.
Yeah, you rotated
were like,
a quarter
you
turn.
You were like, pause.
Give us a moment while we...
Richard Gere at the house.
Richard Gere
at the house.
Now I know where we are.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure we do.
Well, I hope so. Okay. At Brooks.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Good call, dude. That was really fucking my shit up. Anyways, he's at the house. The guy
is
explaining
that. Did I have to take out that door for you too?
It's so close.
She's like, God damn it, move this.
Anyways.
You sound really good from this.
Your audio does. You sound great now.
No, you really don't.
I know.
You
sound really sexy right now. I just want you to know.
No, not like, God damn it.
It was a lot. Anyways, so Richard Gere's talking to Laura Linney, not Holly Hunter. Laura Linney.
Either one.
You know, yeah. It's all, they're there. He's talking to her and he's like, what's this guy's deal? Like, is he like a drunk? I don't know. You know, is he a weirdo? And she's like, no, that's a respected, normal dude. And,
local respected dude.
You know, a well-liked man
right.
who is not insane.
He's one of the homies, but like, a far
he's
away.
A normal dude.
Right. Like an alderman. City councilman.
I don't get that.
That's not a joke. I'm just saying I'm picking like...
What's an alderman?
I don't know. I've never understood what that position is, but people vote for it.
Oh, that's a thing. I thought that was a person's name.
Oh, I thought you were saying like the alderman.
Not like Jonathan Alderman.
I was like, I don't know him. Sounds respectable. Fuck. Okay, you guys, we're getting...
Yeah, we got it.
I know. Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, and then she's like, no, he's a normal guy, but weird shit has been happening here. You know, people have been having... sightings of creatures or whatever. It sounds weird. But anyways, so Richard Gere starts
Richard Gere like creatures?
They would be lucky.
You're going to kill us.
He, for some reason, kind of sticks around in the town and ends up befriending the dude whose door he knocked on. And he's like, hey, man, you know, I apologize. I'm really confused and I don't know.
Dump some of this on here just so that Sam will freak out.
Well, that's kind of fun, though.
This is the third wine.
Well, okay. Like now there's more of that.
There's officially there's been three wines. Like, it's like a parfait.
Oh, I see that. Ew.
Parfait? I've been using real thick words here for this.
I know. Fuck, you guys,
okay,
we're focusing.
I'm focused. And Richard Gere knocks on people's doors.
He is now friends with the guy. The guy who is so sweet, and he's always that guy in a movie where you're like, man, I know his face. And I always want to think that he reminds me of William Hurt, just like a nice, gentle, fatherly type of man. So they kind of develop a friendship because they're both like, this is very strange what's happening, and I don't really understand it.
Moth shit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who the homeowner is Gordon, and he starts kind of talking to Richard Gere about the strange things he's been experiencing, like strange dreams, and he was in his bathroom once and he started hearing a voice out of the sink that was saying, in Denver, 99 will die. Wow. And then they're in a diner the next day and they see that there was a plane crash in Denver and all the 99 passengers died, and they get this fucking look at each other like, the fuck is going on?
The sink knows.
Goosebumps. Goosebump meter.
Well, and
why
then,
do you think
okay,
it's so goosebumpy.
So
I
then, the,
I have a very visceral reaction to shit.
The following
and
night,
and the Mothman prophecy fucks me up.
No, it's so scary though, because it's like one of those things where it's like all the little pieces kind of come together. But then the following night, Richard Gere gets, oh, man, I can't keep. I just feel like that's weird. I just
to say Richard Gere.
Yeah,
do it. Know? Who cares?
Anyways,
save
so
Richard
he
Greer.
Gets a call from Gordon.
Call him Rick.
And I like that. Yeah. Okay.
Call him Dick.
Dick Gere.
Oh, man. He could have been such a great porn star.
Yeah.
Okay, let's Sam, go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyways, he gets a call from Gordon, and Gordon's like, I'm here with the manifestation of the voice I've been hearing. And he says his name is Indrid Cold. And he he says he's going to, you know, keep visiting or for a while or whatever. And then he wants to talk to Richard Gere. He's like, get me Richard Gere.
Get me Richard
immediately.
Gere.
That does sound funny.
Right. Yeah. That sounds a bit funny. I wish I knew his fucking name. Whatever. He's a doctor guy.
Richard Gere. We have Indrid Cold on line one for you.
Just call him the doctor.
Okay. Richard Gere is now the doctor. He's the doctor. He is the doctor.
Isn't he the one, the gynecologist movie? Richard Gere? That's McConaughey.
What?
Isn't there a gynecologist funny romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Is it Richard Gere or is it McConaughey?
I don't know that he's a...
He's a lady doctor.
No, I think he's just a regular doctor.
Are you sure he's not a lady doctor?
Are you talking about...
I don't know what any of you are talking about.
Fuck. With Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Yes. No, he's a regular doctor. I think you just want him to be a lady doctor.
Oh, that's the one. Sorry.
The wedding planner.
You know what?
No, I'm not thinking of the wedding planner. I'm going to look this up.
Matthew McConaughey. What other movie are Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Lopez in?
Keep going.
Anyways. So, Indrid Cole speaks to him on the phone. That's the scariest looking movie I've ever seen. You guys. This is scary.
I'm listening.
So, Indrid Cole asks to speak to the doctor on the phone.
And
the doctor thinks it's stupid.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck this. I'm not buying this shit. This is annoying. And then he starts testing him.
No, I think you're talking about Doctor Who. Okay, just say Richard Gere.
Yuck. Okay, we're going back to Richard Gere. So he starts asking him.
And please stop molesting the mic stand.
Oh, where's my thing?
Stop stroking it.
I can't. Sam, you're driving me crazy. Anyways, so they talk on the phone.
Wait, your sound is totally off. Dr. T and the women.
Let's get
Dr. T and the women. Gynecologist Richard Gere movie. Boom.
Okay.
I'm so happy it's not the wedding planner.
That is the movie.
Well, who's the leading lady in that?
It's Richard Gere, though, right?
Yeah, it's Richard Gere as a gynecologist and the women.
He could be my gynecologist.
You know, he's too fatherly for me. Not in a hot dad way.
I'm okay with fathers.
That's not weird. No, you're right. There's nothing better than a hot dad, but he's like too much of a father.
Do you want to know who's in?
You don't want
in
a hot father.
No. Helen Hunt.
No.
No shit.
Helen Hunt. Full fucking circle. Helen Hunt.
Tight.
And oh Farrah Fawcett.
We just made Kevin Bacon, dude.
Fuck yeah. Oh wait, let's get back to the fucking movie. That's taking me longer to explain than the length of the movie.
Richard Gere is on the phone with Indrid Cold. Richard Gere is testing him.
He's testing him, and Indrid Cold starts kind of spewing out facts like, your father was born here and this is how he died, whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, you've got my fucking attention. And then, yeah, there's a point where Richard Gere is like, okay, so you know all this shit? What do I have in my hand? And then he's just like,
what does he have in
chapstick.
His hand?
He just freaks out, and then
because he didn't look at what he put in his hand, he just grabbed something from inside of the thing.
Oh shit!
Remember?
I don't remember that. I was probably looking up things about the movie.
That was what was so spooky about it.
Battery.
It's like, I've got a battery.
No, you're fucking wrong. Oh shit!
Shit, it is chapstick.
But anyway, so yeah, he's freaked out, and at the same time, right when he got the call. God, I want to say Holly Hunter, but it's Laura Linney. Goes over to Gordon's house, and she wants to, you know, like, see this Indrid Cold person, whatever. So she's fucking banging on his door, and then he opens, and he's all sleepy, and she's like, did you just call Richard Gere? And he's like, no, what are you talking about? I've been asleep for hours. So you're like, what the fuck is happening? Because you clearly heard Gordon's voice on the phone, and she goes over there. And yeah, he has no idea what's going on, whatever. And then, so they're both rattled by this, obviously, because they're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, none of this seems to be real, but it's going on, I don't know. And then she is eventually, Laura Linney goes back to me with Richard Gere. It's funny every time now. And they're both kind of freaked out and talking about what's going on. And she's like, I keep having this dream that's very strange and you know, disorienting, where she's like, I'm in cold water and I'm surrounded by presents. Whoa. And she's like, I finally get pulled out of the water, and someone, all I keep hearing is someone saying to me, "Wake up, number 37." And she's like, and then that's the end. And then I, and then I'm awake. And she, you know, she's getting really emotional talking about it because it's clearly really disturbing. They've just been kind of talking about like dreams and the importance of, you know, maybe your subconscious thought or whatever. But then they kind of move on from there. And then at some point, Gordon calls Richard Gere again late in the night, and they're having conversation, and Gordon just kind of is saying just crazy shit, and Richard Gere gets concerned, and he races over to his house, gets there like an hour later, and then he can't find him in the house, and he's kind of wandering around his property, and then he finds him out just like dead, sitting at the foot of this fucking tree. What? And so he calls the police. Oh, yeah. And they're like, yeah, it looks like he died. He's been out here for several hours. Looks like he... No, that I didn't finish my
sentence. Like, dead during the time he's been
he
had, speaking
he
to
he died, you know, maybe somewhere in the time frame of, like, 10 to 12 hours ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, Laura Linney says to Richard Gere...
I'm sorry. Wait a second. He's been dead for... Is this Richard Gere?
Richard Gere?
But they say he's
is that you
dead.
On the other side?
10 to 12 hours.
No, that's the,
and
that
then Laura
name?
Linney asks
crossing
him,
over?
Well, she goes, you know, when did you speak to him? Why'd you come over here? And he's like, I just got off the phone with him about an hour ago. So they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, Gordon.
Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon.
And then, so we're moving past that because everyone's just freaked the fuck out. And then at some point, there was a couple who... was, you know, getting hot and heavy in their car in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And they are visited by this creature.
I keep wanting to see. Was it Richard Gere?
I know. They're visited by Richard Gere, and he's like, hey, cut it out or let me
hey,
in.
Richard Gere.
yeah, and the guy's, like, eyes all, you know, bloodshot because they saw this big blinding light and this thing.
Oh, aren't they, like, sunburned
eyes.
Or something?
You're thinking of A Close Encounter.
I am.
Which is fucking incredible. I won't go there.
Not relevant.
Yeah. But a similar
like
thing.
I said not relevant.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a,
not
but
relevant.
It's a similar experience yeah, where yeah. it's this bright light and it just
like,
freaks this
their,
dude's
yeah.
eyes out because it's so like shockingly bright. And yeah, people just keep having these strange experiences where they either see some kind of demon creature or they're having these almost like premonition dreams or voices coming to them. So then there's some point where Richard Gere is going to meet Laura Linney at like the police station maybe, and he gets there and she is talking to him. She's like, oh, did you see that woman looking for you on the way out? And he's like, no, what are you talking about? She says, oh, you know, she had, you know, long red hair and she was asking about you and what you were doing here and if you were happy. And he's like, when she starts giving the physical description, he's kind of freaking out because he's like, that sounds like my wife.
That sounds like Deborah
Messing. Yeah. And then he shows her a picture and she's like, what the fuck?
Whoa.
Because she knows the wife had died, whatever. Yeah. And then this is just a series of things like people freaking out and then moving on to the next thing. So then the close of the movie is there's a big old traffic jam on the bridge and it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And Laura Linney is in the middle of the bridge somewhere in her car trying to get to her family thing. She had invited Richard Gere over to spend the holidays together, whatever. And some cables snapped in the bridge. So all these fucking cars just start falling into the water.
Bummer.
And she is inevitably in that mess. So, but then she gets... pulled out of the water.
Part.
Yeah,
yeah
she gets pulled out of the water.
Dream.
And then you see this like scan of all these cars and presents all in the fucking water because it's Christmas Eve. Everyone's got a car full of fucking presents.
Oh.
They're all just floating around. And then so she's sitting in the back of an ambulance or whatever. This is maybe a couple hours after and they're like, there's confirmed 36 deaths. So earlier when she was
37.
Having the dream about being number 37. Yeah. Yeah.
So she's.
So I mean, it kind of just closes there where they're just like, we don't really know what to do with
right.
this, but this crazy shit keeps happening.
But it's based on a true story.
It's based on,
yeah.
but it
people kept seeing
loosely.
This creature. Yeah,
yeah. They had the couple who, yeah, this is in Pleasant Point, West Virginia, in like the 60s when it started happening.
Never live anywhere that says pleasant or happy.
No, because
or,
it's you're going to be fucking like haunted or murdered or some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had a couple who, you know, was going to make out point or whatever and experienced, you know, a big winged man or something.
Yeah.
And well, the glowing red eyes.
Yeah.
It's and like there was a couple people.
And the eyes are like chest level, right? Weren't they in all the drawings? Like it's a big wingspan and then you get two red dots in the middle.
I just keep thinking of the Babadook.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no top hat.
Yeah.
No top hat.
Yeah, it's
but
very,
yeah, a lot of people and reputable dark. People. There were a couple volunteer firemen who said they,
which is, you know,
reputable characters.
Yeah, I guess. Courageous, normal.
Courageous,
people.
Normal. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Courageous, Aldermans. Normal people who have no reason to make this shit up. And then there was one that was really specific. It was five men who were digging a grave. saw like a low flying winged man.
It takes five people to dig a grave.
I know. I thought that was excessive. And no, it was that's like about in the right. middle of the night. I don't know.
Well, wait, but anyway, why were they movies digging to get rid of a body? Of
I don't know.
It's only like that sounds suspicious.
It was you're in a, I think it was in a graveyard. It was like state sanctioned.
These people just went to the cops and they were like, we were digging this fucking grave.
Fuck, shut up. No, we were whole.
Yeah,
it was a big hole.
Hey, we just murdered this person and tried to bury him. And then we saw this like crazy thing flying above.
But check this out.
but we're moving past the grave digging thing into the winged man.
This is way scarier.
But anyways, a lot of just similar sightings and the Silver Point Bridge, Silver Point, Silver Lake, something bridge actually did collapse.
Yeah, people, the Mothman like gave
and they were just having a bunch of sightings in that area around the time. Oh yeah, and the moth and he does communicate to Gordon that. Yeah. You know, the 36
will die or 37 will die.
Something about, I don't think it was the number, but he was like, there's going to be a great tragedy in this whatever. And then that leads Richard Gere on like a kind of chase.
Can you imagine how convoluted that would be this day and age where like somebody calls you and it's like, there's going to be a great tragedy. And you're like, there's one every fucking hour.
Great news.
Which can you be more specific?
Exactly. But it's just it's a series of almost people being given these little blips of premonitions and then kind of ultimately dying because Gordon dies, Deborah Messing dies.
Gere's alive, right?
He lives and Laura Linney lives, but it's just kind of this
Laura
sporadic.
Linney's Jurassic Park, right?
That's
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern.
Stop saying Helen
you
Hunt.
You love Helen Hunt.
Because, she's the one in...
I'm said Mad About Money.
Mad About Me. Yeah, she's the one in Mad About Me with Aliens
and,
bad guy.
And it's gonna be French good. Kiss? No, it's
good
got,
as it gets.
It's good as it gets.
It's gonna be good.
Hey, it's gonna be good.
Anyways. So yeah, that's Mothman Prophecies. Very spooky as a young lass.
Yes. No, it's true.
So the real story is just, I mean, it's like
people saw creepy
people
thing.
Seeing creepy.
Yeah,
shit.
Not so much any of the premonition type stuff.
Like
which
the time
I think
jump.
As...
No, it wasn't a reporter from D.C. in a small town or something like that.
No,
Was it Richard Gere?
I know
this is a documentary.
No, filmed but live on location.
That's kind of unfortunate.
Dino.
That's the scariest part to me is all the little
fucking Richard Gere man.
I know.
But that's the scariest part, is the premonition shit.
Yeah. They predicted... You know what my personal pet theory on this? This is one of my favorite movies as well. I think it's a demon. Because if you look in old books on demonology, they used to do weird shit, like predict specific weird little things happening in the future. I think it's a demon thing. I don't believe in demons, but when I believe in that kind of stuff... I know this is a completely... I'm jumping around here.
Good?
I'm not a wooey kind of person, but like... If I was to pick what it sounded most like, it sounds
like
a demon showing up and being like, I'm going
to
fuck with people before this bad thing happens.
Yeah. And didn't that come out in a similar time as Dragonfly with Kevin Costner?
I don't know what the hell that is.
Oh my God,
yes, you do. Yes, you do. His wife dies early on. And
is that the one where he drinks all the orange juice and like someone beats up a special girl?
What?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking of a different movie.
Dragonfly did come out because I saw that in the theater too.
What the fuck is Dragonfly?
It's Kevin Costner doing similar shit.
Kevin Costner doing similar.
Okay,
shit.
We can't talk about this. There's another movie to talk about. We're gonna talk about more movies.
All right.
Or else this entire podcast is just I already have only like 20 fucking
Kevin Costner
of it.
Would totally be another guy that you're like, I don't fucking know what his name was in the movie. It's Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something like Kevin Costner, okay, but just saying.
Richard Gere.
And then he had to call Richard Gere.
I know. Okay.
All right. Okay. Speaking of Richard Gere in gynecology movies.
That's bizarre. That's fucking bizarre.
I watched a movie called Dead Ringers.
Which is about gynos.
Which is about twin gynecologists in Toronto.
Are they hot?
They're both Jeremy Irons. How do you feel about Jeremy Irons?
I don't know. How do
For some reason,
Jeremy
I assume they what were women, and that's very my
British.
Bad.
What else? Ooh, I love British people. What else is Jeremy Irons in?
He's in a ton of stuff. He's a fantastic actor. I just have to... I thought you would know his face.
He's scary.
Scary?
Well, yeah.
Oh.
I know his name. I just can't quite remember
his
face.
Lolita,
right,
which is weird.
Oh, yeah, he was. That's not a good impression.
Yeah, I don't want us
people.
To talk about things like that on this podcast.
God, that's the worst picture ever.
It's relevant.
Sorry.
To the times.
Wikipedia has the worst Jeremy Irons picture I've ever seen in my life. So weird.
Sorry,
it's got like
I
a
just
beard?
Did exactly what I told you guys not to do and just went.
It's this guy.
Okay, tangentially related to Jeremy Irons, have you guys seen Hamlet 2?
Oh, Chatina. He's the new Alfred.
Chatina.
Let me see.
He's Alfred.
He's
in the
Alfred?
New, in the new Batman movies.
Where the fuck is Michael Caine?
Oh, with...
yeah, he was in Justice
Ben Affleck.
League. Yeah, with Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Ben
wait,
Affleck.
Wait, really quick. We don't have ben to go Affleck. Anywhere with this question.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Hamlet 2?
Yes, and it's so fucking good. So, oh my God.
It's set in Tucson,
it's
dude.
So fucking good.
It's set in Tucson. That's
so
where I hail
good.
From.
Hamlet 2 is an amazing.
Oh my God.
Like
the first,
a man I would run
did I,
from.
I know I told you this the first time. The first time I watched Hamlet 2, there was something wrong with the yeah, stereo system in my older sister's house.
Oh, yeah.
I told you this.
Yes.
So. I was watching the entire thing.
And missing like half the voices?
Well, no, the voices were playing, but for some reason none of the music was.
Just drums occasionally.
It would just be like
just like a boom ding bam ba down. Just like
well,
bass lines.
Well, people were just like singing for no reason and dancing, and I was just like
this would be a lot better with music.
And I was like,
but the music is incredible.
Well,
in that
I was
movie.
Like, this movie is kind of funny.
Yeah,
but the music they sing, like for the play, the music they sing is hilarious, and then they play like that one fucking.
How good is it that it's Elizabeth Shue as Elizabeth Shue?
It's incredible, dude.
Love
that
Elizabeth
movie
Shue.
Is fucking incredible, and not enough people know about it, and it pisses me off because it's so fucking funny. Because
it's got the worst title on the planet, but that's half the point.
But it's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So I tried. Go on.
All right.
Gynecologist.
Okay. Gynecologist. Speaking of gynecologists, speaking of Mr. T.
Speaking of
and
Alfred
and the women. Speaking of Alfred, Jeremy Irons. Starring as two people, Beverly and Elliot, twin gynecologists. Yes.
Beverly?
Yes.
Beverly?
Yep. He's,
how
his,
unfortunate.
I don't know. They
him.
Is he
the parents,
Bev,
they talk
Bev
about that. One
a,
of the...
is a normal guy's name, though.
Bev?
You, I've known a Bev.
You got a Bev
I've never
here.
Known a Bev.
Not a Beverly, but a Bev.
Well, if
Bev?
You knew a Bev, then their full name was Beverly.
Beverly.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, well... it happens.
What also? What year was this made?
This is Cronenberg. It's mid-80s, mid-late 80s.
Beverendum.
That sounds like an infraction.
Bevuvu.
Yeah. All right. So it's about two gynecologists. It starts out with them as kids, asking really weird sex questions of girls. And then you see them dissecting shit as kids, and they
invent vaginas.
These little like.
That's the first thing I thought of. They start dissecting vaginas? Vaginas?
Vaginas? Vaginas.
They dissected vaginas!
Not my gina, not my gina.
But yours. They invent this little like speculum kind of device, and that gets their career started, and they're famous. Gynecologist doctors in Toronto living the high life.
As gynecologists do.
Elliot's the outspoken, like, real, like, public one, and Beverly is the one who's more into the medicine, much more shy, more reserved, but they have this thing. They share everything in life, including women, including roles, including
like,
papers.
Dun, dun. Like,
so they swap out.
Like,
they're tricking people.
They're, well, everybody. So, like, nobody knows who they're talking to at any point.
I'm too jealous. I don't think I would do that.
Okay.
So, like, the women they date in the movie are pretty sure who they're with, but not always sure because Elliot and Bev swap out on purpose.
They should do like that movie. One episode of Tales of the Crypt. They need to get one of them sunburnt, where like the guy is sunburned, and they realize that they've been dating the same guy.
What did I text you and say this was like Parent Trap, but with twin gynecologists and murder?
Yeah,
it's like Parent Trap.
I prefer Parent
Trap. What's that Nelly song where they think they're dating the same girl? They think they're dating the same girl, but it's Nelly and someone else, I think. They think they're dating the same girl, but it ends up that they're twins, and they're ready to go fuck these bitches up because they're like, I mean...
Fuck them up or fuck them?
No. Like, verbally be like, why are you two-timing us?
And then they're like, you're twins. And then
they're actually twins.
You got taken on an exciting journey by Nelly. I've never heard of this song.
It's probably not Nelly.
But it's a lot like the movie I saw.
Okay, no,
it's
not but the movie, they kill people, vaginas. They murder some vagina. Well,
do they murder their...
No, they actually don't murder any... Well, there is a murder that occurs in the movie. So, as time goes on... they start dating this actress, and she's into like bondage and stuff, and like the more reserved one is starting to like fall in love with her, and the other one's like, "Ooh, she's a tart. I'm not into her." Like British insults, Jeremy Irons, and then she finds out that there's two of them, and she's like, "Oh shit, I've been dating both of you," because earlier that day, before she finds out, she's sitting with Bev, and he's like, "Oh yeah, and my brother," and he's like, "Oh fuck," because they haven't told her that they're identical twin brothers yet. And then she's at dinner with the socialite, and she's like, "Oh, I hear you've been hanging out with the yada yada boys." I can't remember their last name. It's driving me crazy.
I like yada yada boys. What's wrong with that?
And she's like, "What do you mean the yada yada boys?" And she's like, "Oh, the brothers are identical twins." And she's like, starting to like click in her head, and she's like, "Fuck, these assholes have been like trading me off to each other because." She keeps being like, you're I think you're mildly schizophrenic because you act so different in the morning
as
you do in the evening.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so
she knows that that there are two of them.
She's just finding out that there's two of them.
Oh.
Yeah, so she thought there was only one. So they've been swapping out on her without her knowing. Like, or without her even, like, suspecting. It's like that.
It's like that. It was R. Kelly and Usher.
Oh.
Oh,
great video.
If you kind of mush their names together, it's sort of...
Yes. Well...
Not really. No, there's no N. No.
But the
I'm trying to help.
Nelly Kelly.
If you turn the U and Usher upside down to
Nelly Kelly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyways.
So she finds out. She freaks out. She breaks everything off. Throws water into Beverly's face because he actually cared about her and she knew it. And she was like, why are you such a scummy weirdo? And so Beverly starts getting on drugs and like starts taking drugs to like deal with his psychological pain because he feels like the one he loved.
Like benzos,
like uppers, downers.
Ugh, why would you want to take uppers?
To like do more work in more time.
It's like just take a shit ton of uppers and just chill the fuck out.
A bunch of vaginas to get through.
Yeah, he's got a bunch. No jokes, him. That's kind of the thing. He's like, I've got 5 appointments today. I'm about to take some Dex. Let's fucking get
these vaginas these done.
He's like, pap smear. You want a pap smear?
You can
get
a baby.
Pap smear.
They're fertility guys. They make sure that when
you want a baby, you want a baby, you got a baby, you get a baby.
You get a baby.
Who wants baby, a baby?
Baby, baby,
who wants a baby?
So that starts to happen. Apparently. And he and the lady start to... He bumps into the lady at like a modern furniture store. It's really weird. And they decide to like... Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would think.
I met... Nope.
I said furniture.
Richard Gere?
Not a furniture store.
They bumped into Richard Gere. You fucking broke it.
No. I've added a cap to a...
She's modifying her fidget spinner.
Yeah. This is fucking future.
I love... It's the past.
I forgot to tell you...
It already happened.
Scotty walked in the room and he was like, what the fuck is that? I was like, it's a fidget spinner. And he was like... Why do you have it? I was like, it's not mine. It's Sam's.
Doesn't have like it's cholera Sam's. Or something. It's just a fidget spinner.
Although every time I see the boxes,
the fucking mic, I don't know.
I have one in the little really console table next to my sofa.
You were like sexually hungry, man.
Who's sexually hungry?
She just wants something to stroke. But you do it so sensually. You're just like
I was touching the spring, and then I was like, oh, Brooke's gonna yell at me. So then I was touching the shaft.
I have the coolest job in all
Sam,
podcasts.
Everyone.
So they're doing drugs. Start like at public events. The one who's falling apart keeps like busting in, being like, "We've been diddling cunts all this time." Like literally says something like that at like a big prestigious award. Like they're winning like gynecologist of the year, and he's like, "Blah blah blah, diddling cunts." And I don't like using word, but it's from the movie.
Pause this for 1 second. I just would like to say that I think we should all tell the next people that we're with, ours will be the same, but that we just wanted them to diddle the cunt a little.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Your significant other?
The same people that we're with? No, we're not all going to be with the same people.
No, you're not going to start sleeping with somebody new. She's not going to start sleeping with us. That's what she means, I'm guessing.
Like, you're still going to be with like Josh. When
you're banging, no, I thought you were saying we're going to be with the same person. I was like, no nobody's time. Sleeping with my husband, number one.
It's all the same
we're all just going to come after Josh.
Have you seen the differences between those two Joshuas? I'm so different from her husband.
I thought you were both everyone sleeping with the same people.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that part. Yeah. Well, I thought you were saying they're all going to be the same person, but we're going to tell them diddle our cunts. And I'm like, no, don't. Okay, all right, yeah, I can do that.
So somebody died.
So he's at, so they're at a prestigious award, drunk twin comes up and is like, blah, 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 diddle, the C word.
Diddly cunt cunt.
And
I know,
and
he's it like, doesn't sound like it should be offensive. It's
so
like,
Elliot,
a
like,
funny word.
Just a little cunt.
So Elliot like, has to go around town and be like, hey, we're cool, cunt. Things are fine, things aren't fine. Elliot gets a promotion to go like teach at a school, so he's got less time to share with the vagina duties back at the office.
Bummer.
Bye, vagina so, duties.
So the other twin has his workload doubled. The other,
he's
yours
diddling
not mine.
All over the place.
The other twin has double the workload, so he's like
double
really
the diddling.
Double the diddling, half the fun. So he's popping tons of drugs. So he really starts fucking up. He orders these crazy Cronenberg, literally like, if you were like, hey, I'd like medical tools that look like Cronenberg invented them, those are the tools they get.
Have,
and they
you,
also
seen,
wear,
have you seen the tools that gynecologists use? Because they're like that.
Yeah, but just wait. Yeah. Hold on. Just, I'm going to look.
If you, the thing that they shove up in us isn't the prettiest thing.
So they also wear these amazing, they wear these things to make them look like cardinals. So these are... these are the tools. There's like a weird spine. There's like a tongue.
You can get a good diddle with those.
There's like a bone finger claw.
Okay. What the fuck
Number
is
one,
even the point?
Here's
Why
the thing.
Why would you go to him?
Well, yeah. First go to get your fucking annual exam, and then everybody comes out dressed like that in these red
It's like, are you about to fucking cut me open and say a
I'm
dark prayer?
I'm getting sacrificed.
The costuming is amazing.
It's like I'm about to get sacrificed. I'm going to jump on the fucking table and run out of the room.
You're
tied fucking down with your like ankles up and shit.
This is their surgery dress, by the way. That's their surgery dress.
Okay.
So people are already knocked out.
People are already asleep.
It's definitely
clearly
weird.
You've never been to the gyno. We don't take naps.
Yeah.
No, that's
also
that's
I would love
Jeremy
to hear
Irons.
Jeremy,
what's
Irons
name? Jeremy Irons
say diddling cunts. I bet it sounds fucking dope.
It's a bit weird.
Oh, but it sounds cool.
I bet it's great.
It's weird.
Wait, so these are all cunt diddlers?
Jeremy Irons and Jeremy Irons. Yes.
No, not them. The actual. Does it explain the points of them? Like, is this explaining?
These are all vagina tools, like speculums and.
In other words,
wideners. All kinds of shit I don't know about. And I feel this is why I was like, why did I have to get stuck with?
Because
there's a big part of this I don't have a personal like.
Tony, I'm gonna need you to just lay back a little, just spread those legs.
Put something cold in my anus and widen it.
Yeah,
basically,
we're
right?
widen your anus
but
a little.
Your vagina. That's literally what it is. If you have a nice doctor, they'll
warm
keep it slightly warm,
and they'll go, "This might be a little cold," and you'll go, "Oh, thank you for warning me." And they're like, "Yeah."
Is that what it's like? A gyno's real petty?
I don't know. The last
where do you go?
I went to Planned Parenthood the last time, and I normally go to older men who I'm.
I know. I feel like they're just used to girls crying. They're like, let's fucking just please sit down. I've got to do this. Fuck.
Got a diddle ear.
Yeah.
No, also, they'll also
could just
like
stop crying.
The
that's
good,
not funny.
Okay,
good
so one. They okay. kill someone.
Cut that.
That's the thing. Jeremy Irons is on drugs so much at the end, he's just like, can you just fucking stop crying? And he's like jamming it up in ladies, and they're all like, ugh, like obviously uncomfortable. And he's like,
are they killing
he's
anyone?
Like,
what's going on?
No, not
on?
Yet.
Oh,
he's just
sorry.
On drugs,
I know.
And then
I'm
they
mutilating,
the
he's mutilating Cooter?
Basically. And yeah. then he gets in surgery and brings those tools out and then like jams
and
one up in the wrong.
People still work with him?
No, helmet, hear me out. The secretary
he's
had quit
a cool
earlier.
Guy.
The
just hold on.
The secretary had quit earlier that day. When he's in surgery and brings these out, the people are like, okay, are you sure? And he's like, yes, 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 bring me number five. And number five is the finger claw. And he jams that up in somebody. And then, like, he's like, I need something to slow me down. I'm too fucking high right now. And, like, jumps on top of the lady and, like, grabs her, like, anesthesia mask and, like, starts breathing it. And everyone's like, get this dude out of the fucking room.
What?
God.
He just, like walked around?
Well, no, he, like, climbed on, he, like, mounts her.
A glass of water.
It's real intense, super intense scene. And then obviously their careers are ruined because he's lost his shit and he's dragged everything down. So they decide to get
slowly back out of the room.
So the twins start to live in their own apartment and just do tons of drugs. And they're ordering like, it's like my room when I'm depressed. They just have a lot of takeout bags and like,
oh, yeah.
And okay. Sadness. I thought you were about to tell me that they start ordering like, people to cut, like say like prostitutes.
He does order twins at one point.
So that they can what? Just
and makes one of the twins call him Bev and makes
sure
the other twin
okay.
call him Elliot. It's really weird.
Whoa,
yeah,
weird.
Lots of weird sexual stuff. I really highly
does
recommend
he kill
watching
his
it.
Brother,
it's one of those he does kill his brother. That's
okay,
the end of the movie.
Okay,
wait,
that's
you guys,
what I thought.
Yeah,
I
we
remember
just
this
are
story.
Jumping all over. The
so
place.
So
finish,
they're all
finish.
Drugged. They're all drugged out. Their careers are ruined. They crash in their apartments. They're all taking drugs. They're out of their minds. He ends up doing weird surgery with these weird tools. Look them up, people. Dead ringers, image search. It's like. Really close on there, and then goes downstairs, and it's a really haunting scene. Like he kills his brother. He wakes up in the morning.
Does he kill his brother just Bev. In like a fit of
because he's like mad. He's like out of his
out
brain.
Of shit.
Yeah.
And okay.
both, like,
he just wants
there,
to
just,
be both.
He wants to be both.
Both.
Yeah, basically. And he wakes up and he's cool. going Ellie, and he won't look at the dead body of his brother. And he goes downstairs and he calls the girlfriend who like made him lose his mind, doesn't say anything, hangs up, goes back in the apartment and dies of like starvation, I guess. They just look like
they
two dead bodies. This is based on a true thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to ask you. It's like, what
is based
the
on
fuck?
A true thing. So there were two, let me get to my notes, bombs and miners, that's not it, desert location.
Here's the thing, miners as in kids or people who work in a coal mine?
As in one
dude,
who
oh
gets
God.
Minerals from
funny
the cave.
Funny story,
okay.
Funny story, for the longest time when people would say Chilean miners, I totally thought they met underage
dude.
Chilean people.
Bo Burnham
There's
has 101
Chilean
fucking...
miners trapped?
And that's my no. Brooks a fucking idiot story.
No, but it's
yeah.
tough.
Nah.
It's a true
pass.
Story. This is the their Gynos. Names are Stuart twin Gynos, Stuart and Cyril Marcus. It's a mouthful. Twin
why
gynecologists
didn't they stick with
on
those
staff
names?
At New yeah,
I know.
Because
what
it would be
fuck?
Impossible
Bev.
To have Bev and Elliot. Bev and Elliot's a lot easier to say than Stuart and Cyril.
Stuart and Cyril?
Stuart
no,
Cyril.
I like that.
I don't like it.
I'd call him Cyril. Sounds like sterile.
They shared in the same apartment in the same building. Weeks went by, they like some weird shit started happening at the practice. Weeks went by, and then the neighbors were like, hey, there's a stink in this apartment. They found the twin gynecologists dead in their apartment. One of them had died of a drug overdose, the other one had died for like unknown reasons, basically probably like heartbreak. You lose your twin, you die because you starve
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, stop
weird.
Eating and
damn.
Yeah.
stop doing anything.
So they, so that's Cronenberg heard that story and was like, how do you build a story around that? Like, how did that happen? Because there's no explanation as to why
right,
they died in their
right,
apartment.
Lost their shit.
So he goes, like, how would a drug addiction start with twins? And so maybe he imagines them, one going crazy, and that's how Cronenberg came up with the movie idea.
Fuck yeah.
From that crazy story.
I love Crony. Macaroni myself.
Macaroni.
I don't know why I keep doing that accent.
Macaroni. Hmm. Because,
I'm not mad at it.
Well, now that we've talked about movies and
yeah.
vaginas and diddling cunts and Richard Gere.
I'm really sorry to bring that word into the
no, I know.
Moment.
I feel like maybe we're going to have to do a
diddly,
sound
diddly,
over
diddly, 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 diddly.
Because I don't know.
I write that it's not safe
it.
For work. Let's do, should we do a quiz? Should Pony give us a quiz? I think Pony should give us a quiz.
All
Pony,
right.
That's the quiz we're giving you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys.
Nobody okay. say the answer.
I don't
answer.
Click start now, do I?
No, no, no.
I just
no, no.
scroll down.
Yeah, don't. Nobody. Yeah,
click that. Let's see what it takes us.
Nobody answer the question until Pony has read all of the answers.
Okay. Okay, right. That's fair. I love to jump the gun.
This is a true horror stories quiz. Question one. What was the inspiration for A Nightmare on Elm Street? Option A. Wes Craven had a series of really bad dreams. B. The conviction of Frederick Krueger, a serial murderer who killed people in their sleep. Or C. Several reports of people who were scared to go sleep and then died. I don't
C.
know why my cadence.
I would imagine C.
It's C.
It's C. We're picking C. Correct answer. Craven developed the concept after reading articles describing Asian refugees who feared the nightmares they
Asian
allegedly...
Asian refugees?
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure.
Is that unusual?
I had to think. I say a slur or something? Like, is refugees
think,
an okay
that makes
word?
You think of 30 Rock when they keep saying, or when Selma Hayek says that she's Puerto causes. Rican, and then he's like,
can I, God,
that's like, that doesn't that's
sound like right. I know you can say that, but what do I say?
But what do I say?
Fun thing to Google, related to this, is Google fan death. I'll leave that for the people at home to do. Question two. Which notorious serial killer kept the genitals of some of his victims as souvenirs? David Berkowitz, Jeffrey Dahmer, or Ted Bundy?
Dahmer as fuck.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dahmer as fuck?
Yeah, no,
he's
Dahmer.
Such an interesting person to
Correct
me.
Answer. From 1978
Did you watch the Dahmer
to 1991,
files yet?
No.
Dude, it's fucking chill. It's
Jeffrey
on Shudder.
Killed
it's
17
on Shudder.
I did see My Friend Dahmer, so.
I really want to see that. I Typically want... engaging in molestation, necrophilia, and even consuming their
you
flesh.
You guys should watch the Dahmer files.
I want
to... Oh, this one's fucked up.
Kitty Genovese was stabbed to death in 1964 There's over the span of a half an hour. How many people allegedly saw the crime but failed to report it?
It's The Witness. The Witness is the Netflix
thing. Did you all say 38 Whoa. Or did I just click it?
No, I said 38.
We'll see,
it was
one.
In her
you said it with
apartment
conviction.
Complex.
38 people were believed to have witnessed the murder, but none took action. The phenomenon has since been...
I know, the bystander effect. Though I always talk about that. I once saw like a bad wreck happen in front of my apartment, and I was smoking a cigarette back when I smoked, and I was just like, fuck.
Someone will get it. Yeah.
And then, yeah, someone will get it. Walked back inside.
That's the issue. Everyone thinks someone will get it, and then nobody gets it. And, yeah. All right. Which of the following was not an unfortunate amenity in Hotelier... H.H. Holmes Murder Castle. I'm so proud I nailed that word on the fly. Which was not an amenity at the hotel? An acid vat, a guillotine, or a crematorium?
Guillotine.
I have no idea.
Damn, nailed guillotine. It.
I love H.H. Holmes.
The crematorium
H. Holmes,
sounded right.
Crematorium, he definitely had an acid vat. And mm-hmm. He like burned and then did acid or something. He made sure the evidence was not...
He did
not,
a lot of
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Well, because he made the skeletons
and
then he would sell them to like...
Yep.
Colleges and shit.
Killer in a White City, was it? Something in a White City?
Devil in a White City.
Devil in a White City. Yeah. Read the book. Great book.
Fuck, I gotta read it.
H.H. Holmes, believed by many to be America's first serial killer, incorrect, rented rooms to unsuspecting tourists during the 1893.
First most famous one.
Most famous early.
Leo D's about to play him in a fucking...
Who?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
I think in a Scorsese.
Oh, it is a Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Did it's you burp
Scorsese.
A little?
No, you know, I had a little brain malfunction. Oh.
World Fair killing somewhere around 200.
Yeah, World Fair.
Which horror story legend was brought to life at the Capri Motel in Kansas City,
Tina?
Missouri? Which horror story legend was brought to real life at the Capri Motel in Kansas City, Missouri? A guest was murdered in the shower. A dead body was discovered under the bed, or Bloody Mary scared someone to death. Which one of these things happened in
one
an actual
of our
hotel?
Guests is actually from Kansas City. I'd say
in the shower.
Yeah, I would say murdered in the
It's a really weirdly worded question, isn't it?
Well, because there's always that fear that when you're in a hotel, when you're in a motel, that there is going to be like a hooker in your bed or some shit.
That's definitely a
thing. I say
that's a thing.
I say bed.
You want a good body in bed?
Yeah.
Correct answer.
Yeah, bed.
Man spent 3 nights in a room at the motel, all the while complaining to management about an unbearable odor.
Really?
Finally checked
out the door the first night of the unbearable odor.
That's an American Horror Story.
When the cleaning crew...
Yeah, it's in hotel.
It's also
in
Four Rooms, I think.
It is in Four Rooms, yeah.
When the cleaning crew lifted up the mattress, they discovered a terribly decomposed body.
God,
and
that,
you thought bed bugs were bad.
That episode, that part of Four Rooms is so funny. That's
it's so
the,
funny. This
the
is
Anthony,
the kids, right?
Or the Antonio Banderas.
Anthony
Banderas.
Anthony Bandon.
I would do things to Which Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
He's beautiful.
He tickles my little gay bone.
Yeah.
Which of the following atrocities happened to a woman named Essie Dunbar in 1915? She was buried alive, she was murdered with an ice pick, or she fell into a vat of boiling oil?
I don't know what this is, but it all sounds equally worse.
My heart wants to say buried alive, but I think she fell into boiling oil.
That would be awful.
How would you even do that?
Where would you find that much oil?
It's 1915. Who knows?
Who do we go?
Mass frying.
Ice pick fry?
I say A.
A?
Okay.
A?
Let's do it.
She was buried alive. Yeah. Declared dead. You guys are six for six.
I know. I watched Lore.
Declared dead and following there was, a seizure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a whole episode about people about getting buried alive.
Dunbar's sister insisted on seeing her body after the dirt had already been piled in her casket. Workers dutifully uncovered her to appease the grieving sister, and then when the lid was raised, Dunbar sat up and smiled at everyone.
Wait.
What?
She survived it?
Yeah. Because her sister was like, I want to see her one last time.
Fuck.
And they dug her up.
That noise. And she sat up and was like,
what's up?
I would be fine.
Thanks, guys.
No fucking way.
Most comfy dark bed I've ever laid in.
If someone buried me alive, the first thing I would not do is smile.
Yeah.
I would.
That makes me question whoever wrote this quiz.
But, yeah.
But sat up, I believe it. Next question. Who killed 2-year-old James Bulger in 1992? I think I know this one.
I think. Me too.
His mother, 2 10-year-old boys, or a homeless veteran?
I think it's 10-year-old boys, isn't it?
Fuck. I don't know.
That sucks. I don't want that.
Is it his mom? I don't know. I don't know, but I mean.
Bulger.
I don't remember.
I remember that name, but yeah. I don't. I think it's the 10-year-old boys.
Is it? Click it. Do it.
Man, fuck. 2 10-year-old
boys. Yep, Robert Thompson and John Venables, both 10-year-olds at the time, had been engaged in petty shoplifting all day. But at some point decided to kidnap the toddler in plain sight of security cameras
at the shopping center.
And they grabbed the toddler, walk him out, and then they murdered him for kicks and
there's the video of them walking away. Him out. With him. Yeah. Yep.
In 92. That's fuck me. Man, what was that one where the dude, he was like a maybe 10 to 12-year-old kid who was playing ball with his neighbor and like hit her in the face with the ball.
Fuck.
Yeah, but and then his mom found the fucking rotting body of this, like, 5-year-old girl.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh.
I'm gonna get this name wrong. Which disorder fueled Hiroshi Mayue's killer instincts?
I wanna say it's Maue, but Maue? I made that up. But it sounds familiar.
Mayue? I'm not sure. Killer instincts. Undefined psychosis, schizophrenia, or paraphilic psychosexual disorder.
That one, because there's so many words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct answer. A Japanese man trolled the internet looking for people interested in engaging in suicide pacts. Upon meeting his prey, he killed them himself.
I remember this.
He could only reach sexual gratification when he watched others suffer.
Okay.
That sucks.
That would be a bummer.
Yeah, you're like, I just watched that person die. Why am I so hard? Fuck.
Just me, it's,
guess I better jack off on him.
Ugh.
All
right. Sorry.
Honestly, though,
I don't know why that made my brain come to a halt.
That's what I think about, though. Okay, never mind. I think about torturing people.
No,
like, I think about people fucking dying.
It just so happens when I torture and murder people, I get really sexually excited.
What if you are, like, watching, like, a scary movie or something, you see something really fucked up, and then you're like, why am I fucking wet right now? And then you're like, God damn it. Like, I've explored this fetish.
Or
like,
oh, Lord.
Because you're never, like, yeah, like, why, when you're, like, excited by something where you're like, oh, shit.
Yes, it is, has happened at weird times.
No,
yes,
especially I'm not during puberty.
You don't want me to throw you a bone? You're just imagining it happening?
No, like, so Sam's like, no, I'm not talking about me.
I'm talking about a friend of mine. Yeah. I have this one really good friend.
What's her name?
Her name is Amanda.
Her name is Stan.
Amanda gets wet whenever she sees dead bodies. Has that ever happened to you before?
But that's the thing. Oh, no, I watched this movie on Shudder that was like this guy who was a pedophile and like this other guy introduced him to like being excited about that. And it was like, not that I'm
he was already but like, excited.
But like, no, but like how that's got to be like a very jarring thing to be like, why does this like, thing oh, that no. is so disgusting excite me?
Yeah.
Like that's weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird. Know. No, it would be it's a weird. Bummer to discover that.
Yeah, that you're turned on because yeah. it's like you just are. I don't think
that's when you just when you be a good citizen and you just drive your car off a cliff.
Yeah, and you're call like, it I'm going to pop off.
You guys were reminding me of why I stopped watching SVU. It's like too much child rape.
Yeah.
Too much child rape. I couldn't do
it.
It's
a bummer. Watch
the I think it's called
like, having nightmares that like I was trying to help kids but yeah. I couldn't and no, I was and like got,
yeah, I can't watch it because it's too close
it's
to home.
It's a bummer, man.
Weird.
How did Macedonia journalist? I'm sorry. I'm just
Vlado
steering us back into the quiz. Yeah. Macedonian journalist Vlad Tenesky managed to write such in-depth features about a series of murders.
Oh, because he did
The killer tied him up and forced him to watch. The killer sent videos of the crimes directly to him, or he was the killer.
I'm going to go with he was the killer.
That's right. An
evil name.
Correct answer. A journalist for 20 years, Tenesky wrote articles about the unexplained murders of three women. His major goof, however, was goof.
Wow. What a joker.
Nice choice of words. His major goof, however, was including too many unreleased details in his reports.
What the fuck are you eating? Sorry, he's eating a button.
This is Rico.
No, it's Pony.
What am I eating?
Nah.
It's a butt. She just pulled a button from my mouth. Police matched his DNA to the killers. And he was arrested. He committed suicide in prison by drowning in a bucket of water.
What?
I wonder if it was pee water.
Well, I don't know.
I would imagine. I mean, what other bucket of water do you have?
Yeah, also, that's like what bucket would be in the room other than that?
How do you force yourself? I read a thing that was like, you can't
make yourself drown.
Yes. Unless you're.
You definitely can't kill yourself.
Constraint.
I mean, maybe you just like. Maybe
because
just,
your body has a natural instinct to pull
out, to jerk away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I got caught next to a bed
maybe.
Once when I was reaching for something. So I'm imagining him putting the bucket down next to the bed and like reaching under real far and then being like, oh, I'm good. I'm stuck. I'm pulled a pony.
I imagine it took some work.
My roommates sure. just yeah, took pictures of me. I was right when I moved into my place in Santa Rosa, my roommates took pictures of me and laughed. Eventually, I was able to get out.
You know, I laugh when I take pictures of you.
Gross, dude. What was Jesse Pomeroy's distinguishing feature? A scar from mouth to ear.
A pronounced limp.
A white eye.
Dude, a white eye is fucking sick.
I don't even know who Jesse Pomeroy is.
I don't either. I don't know what any of this shit is.
I want to see it.
There are going to be people. No. Nobody listens to
us.
Logically, it's a scar from mouth to ear, but a white eye would be fucking awesome.
I feel like it's a limp.
I feel like it's a scar.
Two scar, one limp?
But do limp because you picked my choice last time.
Oh, okay. It's a white eye.
Oh. Damn, how fucking cool.
Known as America's youngest serial killer, Pomeroy killed at least two children, but probably many more for being imprisoned at age 14. Jesus Christ.
Fuck.
One of his eyes had a white film covering the pupil.
That's fucking... He was Bummer born best. To be a fucking villain.
Do you know how
dude,
long this question, this quiz is?
Doesn't no matter. Clue.
Which of these happened at a farm known as the like Hinterkai effect before a family was murdered
so
there?
Cool. This is so cool.
Is it cool?
Oh, this I remember this,
it's
actually.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, what should these happen?
I'm not into this.
At the farm known as Hinterkai effect before a family was murdered there. A trail of footprints led from the forest to the house, but not back again. The family received unmarked packages full of pictures of themselves, or swarms of flies invaded the farm.
It's A.
Yeah.
It's fucking, A. Dude, that is some terrifying shit.
Wait, okay, so what? Say
there's
that again,
big,
please.
There's a big murder at this farm, and a trail of footprints came in and like around the house, but didn't go back. And the family couldn't figure out like where this person went or if they backtracked on their own footprints. So they're like, it basically was like someone came to the house, walked around the house, didn't leave the area, but they couldn't find him.
And then they got
murdered.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is
six residents of the farm were murdered and the killer was never found.
Did you read about this happened, I want to say, earlier this year or late last year? The
10
Roden
out of 11.
Family in Ohio. This it was like eight members of a single family in a stretch of 50 miles were fucking murdered like execution style. And they have no... I've like been trying to keep up with it because it's fucking crazy. They've killed... the ages range from like...
But it was
like
one family being killed.
One family. But like different plots of different homes across, I think the stretch was like 50 miles. And they left like a couple month old baby alive.
Yeah.
And maybe like a 3 or 4 year old, but they killed like a 12 year old. It was like a whole fucking family they just took out.
BuzzFeed Unsolved, I think.
But yeah, they have no idea what fucking happened. It's a fun web show.
They basically unsolved mysteries with two of the guys from BuzzFeed.
But yeah, like it's just some terrifying shit. It reminds me of this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, someone clearly chose these people and murdered.
Like systematically murdered a family.
Systematically murdered an entire family.
Like removed a gene line from the, yeah.
It's fucking crazy. And well, they have no idea who did it.
But you know what else is like fucking a true story? Hills Have Eyes.
Hills Have Eyes.
So yeah, fucked up. Fucking Hills. But there's two versions, which are kind of different, but similar.
There was
Pony Express.
Pony Express. There were
a
Wes Craven.
I know.
Choo choo.
Yeah. I was about to say the last episode. Yeah, Tina kept going, choo choo.
That's what I like they it. Do.
Mm-hmm. Ponies?
You know. Well, trains.
Yeah. So I bought
choo choo. I don't know how bad you guys want your hangovers to be tomorrow, but I also bought a bottle of red wine for us
tonight. Dude, I'm down to fucking party.
She's let's down with the clown.
Okay.
I am down.
Pony, tell us a thing.
My cousin says that. And it's my favorite chip.
Oh, I like your cousin.
Stop. Hope you're I'll wearing your best dress.
I was going to say on camera, but this is
it's
not a camera.
It's time for the Pony Express.
Choo choo.
Well, down guys. For that. Extra. This week, I'll be talking about the 1977 original Wes Craven, The Hills Have Eyes. It was based loosely. Well, Wes Craven had heard the story of a 16th century highway robber in Scotland. And this guy, his name was Alexander Sawney Bean, typically just known as Sawney Bean. He was reported...
Okay. Can you spell Sonny? Because S-A-W-N-E-Y. To me, I was like, why are you saying Sonny so fucking weird? When I heard it on a different thing, I was like, what?
S-A-W-N-E-Y.
I know, but it didn't, in my head, I was like...
S-A-H?
No, in my head, it was S-O-N-N-Y, and I was like, why Sonny are you Bean. Saying that weird?
Oh, you thought it was Sonny Bean and people were saying it weird?
Yeah.
So
I just need people like me to have that distinction.
S-A-W-N-E-Y, Sonny.
Okay,
Sonny.
Thank you.
Hey, Sonny.
Sonny.
Come here, Sonny boy.
Sonny boy. So apparently, I love this retelling that I got off of, just straight up off of Wikipedia, but they have all this funny embellishment. His father was a ditch digger and a hedge trimmer, and Bean tried to take up the family trade, but quickly realized he had little taste for honest labor. He left home with a vicious woman who apparently shared his inclinations. Apparently they ended up in a cave. Cave was 200 yards deep.
You are like glossing over ending up in a cave like it's fucking
because that's
buying
how they,
a car.
So they ended up in a cave because they're lazy. And this is the 1500s.
And that's free.
And it's free. It's a free home.
That's kind of fucking sweet, though.
It's kind of, I guess, if you're into caves and not
that's
working.
That's kind of fucking chill.
It's super chill.
But
it's so chill you don't have to.
It's much worse than a house in the, you said 1500s?
1500s. Yeah. Or the 16th
gross.
Century 1500s, yeah.
So
yeah, it's not
janky.
Good times.
So
this is
a cave
pre-Renaissance,
is probably pretty chill.
Middle age. So they're like, well, how do we get stuff? How do you get stuff when you don't want to work? You steal it.
True.
But they also had to feed themselves, so they also ate their victims. This happened for a long time. They got away with it because the cave was really remote, and they did it only at night. Apparently, it got up to like 1,000 people being killed. They were searching.
Wait, in real life?
Well, here, I'll get to that. Okay. They start searching for people. They start hanging like innkeepers who are like the last people to see the victims because they can't figure out who it was. And this is the Middle Ages, and you just kill people like crazy when you're trying to figure something out. They eventually got the attention of King James the VI when they tried to attack a young couple, and the guy was a master swordsman, and he got away, and his wife was killed.
That's not cool.
And they found them with a bunch of bones and stuff, and they're like, man, you've been out here munching on people and robbing people for a long time.
Fuck.
So they were captured alive. The men had their genitals cut off and hands and feet severed, and they were allowed to bleed to death. The women and children, after watching them die, were burned alive, which was a typical punishment for treason back in the day.
That sounds like fun.
This was, they've found no historical evidence for this actually being happened. it's a big, like, fun thing to talk about when you go to Edinburgh in Scotland, apparently. People are like, hey, come to the Sawny Bean Cave and see where all this stuff is. It's like yeah, their Loch Ness.
We're not going to fucking murder your country and fucking like extremities off.
It's their Loch Ness.
Yeah, I'm here for some fucking fun.
Because Nessie's like a thing. Cute little fucking yeah. sea dragon. This is like yes. murderous cannibals.
It's like, hey, come check out this cave where it's said to be cannibalist lived.
And guess what?
Maybe you might get murdered. I don't know, but come just check it out.
Here's a really cool thing. A bunch of kids were set on fire. Isn't that cool?
Well, that's their execution.
Yeah, I kind of. No.
And they think it was based on where the quote I read earlier was like, when there's smoke, there's fire. There were reports of highway robbers who were also cannibals at the time, and they think that's where the beginning of that story happened. It was basically used as like a boogeyman story, like if you don't behave, Sonny Bean will get you, like that kind of thing.
Oh,
so that's where it
yeah, that's
basically
pretty,
came from.
Yeah, that's pretty dark.
And that is the origin, the inspiration for Wes Craven creating the story that is The Hills Have Eyes in the 1970s.
That's amazing. I love it. I love it. It's fantastic. And that's our show this week.
Thanks, Brooke, for your genuine...
Oh, well,
and it's fantastic, and I also liked it.
And...
I am having
scene.
Fun.
We just switched to $1.99 wine. Thank you, Trader Joe's.
Damn.
Holler back.
That's not the bottle.
It sure is.
Well, it's like, because I work across the street from a Trader Joe's, so I'm like...
Shit. Oh, that's for a conversation in real life. Never mind.
Let's save that conversation for real life. So, 1, 2, 3. Teamwork.
Part one.
Rico looks like he's fighting sleep
gone
so
long.
Hard.
What's happened is
he's
we've gone long.
He's
thinking
squinty eyes all night.
Where
he's like, I'm so fucking tired.
And this is the end of part one.
We partied too hard. End of part one. You'll see part two in like, an hour, a day, 2 days, 3 days.
Or a week later.
An amount of time.
Probably not a week later.
Yeah, but we'll do it too.
It's like, a later date.
Yeah.
The caboose is leaving.
All right. Good night. Sorry.
Or whatever time you're watching this, a good day to you.
At top of the morning to you, darling.
Bye.
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 Stay woke.
Bye.
Ugh, bye.
Bye.
Stay woke.
Bye. Each enjoy your Thanksgiving
fucking
pies.
Fucking sickos.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
They've already eaten their Thanksgiving pies.
Well,
it's
I know. I'm saying like, but leftovers
hope
are probably
good,
okay still.
Also, fuck pilgrims if we're going to just talk about Thanksgiving.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bye.
Brooke, bye.